If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
Sometimes people come back after they purchase it and go, wait a second, why is this $40,000 or $50,000 more than what was the expected number? Well, if they would have brought their policy to an actual commercial agent, they would have been able to run it and say, well, this policy is this price because of these reasons, and give, and a real good commercial agent will give you some insight to that. That's one. Two is...
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Joseph Sabag is a public adjuster that is licensed in over 15 states. He deals mostly with commercial property, has over 15 years in the business, and is exclusively a property owner's representative. Joseph, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate it, Sam. It's really good to be here.
Okay, so a public adjuster, I have no idea what you do. Can you walk us through that?
Absolutely. A public adjuster is a licensed individual from state to state that represents the policyholder exclusively on an insurance claim when they're dealing with their insurance company. The insurance company has their adjusters. You have a right to hire a public adjuster to represent you to make sure that things are being addressed correctly, whether interpreting policy language, interpreting scope of damages, and moving through and making sure that the insurance company is following their contractual agreement that they have with their insurers.
Right. Okay. That sounds amazing. And it sounds like something everyone would need. Why are you necessary in the industry?
Sure. So when it comes to the insurance company, they're looking at it through their set of eyes on how they're addressing that loss. There might be looking at the policy in a different way when it comes to coverages. Now, they might look at the scope of damages when you have damages to this property. And understanding also that sometimes a policyholder might assume that they have certain coverages, and having someone to explain it to them to understand that they have these coverages or don't have those coverages, coming from someone on their side is really going to help them understand it, instead of looking at it and saying, oh, the insurance company is taking this route. And also, why are they taking that route? I always tell people, dealing with the claim, there are many moving parts to a commercial claim. You might have just the actual loss itself to the structure, loss of income, business interruption, code upgrades. There are a lot of things that now start coming into play that the insurance company might forget to tell you that you have coverages for. There's a nice way I like to put that.
Right. I mean, so do you just spend an inordinate amount of time reading through people's policies and figuring out what they actually have?
Yes, I do. I always tell my client, the clients that I currently deal with, I always tell them, let me look at your policies before loss happens. So at least you know if something happens, what you're covered for, and also what are you missing that maybe the agent might not have been aware of because you forgot to say certain things to them, or you might have asked for a reduction in premium, not realizing by doing that you're removing certain coverages of your policy and giving up certain things that are actually quite crucial in a type of property that you have. So looking at that and making sure things are being covered correctly prior to the loss so you can address those, such as the biggest thing that I find is your deductible. A lot of times people go with a percentage deductible on a property, not realizing, hey, I'm going for 2%, 3%, 5% deductible. But when you take that deductible, it's the value of the policy. So depending on the size of the law, the property, it really does have a lot of weight with it, where you look and you say, wow, before I even get a dollar, I have to be out of pocket $250,000. So you want to know those things up front and try to address those and see if you're able to get those covered prior to it, or adjusted prior to ever having sustaining a loss. Not every property has losses, but you want to know that the first reason why you're buying insurance is to make sure you're covered if, God forbid, something like that does happen.
Yeah, that's interesting. You bring up the policy or the percentage on the deductible. Most people, at least I would think when you said that, I would think a percentage of the loss, but you're saying it's typically written where it's a percentage of the policy face, you know, maximum value or maximum payout.
Correct. And sometimes depending on the size of the property and how many buildings there are or how many structures there are, sometimes the policy is where it's a deductible per structure, not for the just the property itself. It might be broken up into actual individual units, such as sometimes we deal with multifamilies where there will be 30 structures, and each structure has a different deductible, which means that sometimes you're looking at the loss, and I use this a lot of times, where one of our clients sustained damages, and they said, great, file the claim. I said, wait a second. I ran the numbers. I said, do you have about $950,000 available to start fixing your property? I said, the total value of the loss is about 1.3. So you got to make sure up front that if you're going to be filing that claim, that first of all, you know what you're dealing with, because when you have those numbers out there, that can make a very big difference on how you go about the claim.
Yeah. So you're telling me on a $1.3 million claim, they had a $950,000 deductible?
Correct.
Wow.
Because when you add up all the buildings, because each building has a separate deductible, and you add up the damages, the approximate value of what you think the damages are, the insurance company will go, great, here's your check for $400,000. Now go do the repairs. You got to come up with $950,000. So knowing that up front is really important, because you've triggered the policy now, which means it goes part of your loss runs and so on and so forth. There's a whole, that's like, we can get into that a little bit more, but that really affects how you go forward on dealing with your policies when they come up for renewal, or possibly you might get canceled by the insurance company because of the size of the loss.
Yeah, that's something I wouldn't have thought about. We're in the middle of acquiring a 246 unit property. And of that, it's actually a really cool property, but of that, there's about 70 of those units are basically single family homes. They're cottage style apartments. So they're smaller. I can't remember the square footage on them, maybe 700, 800 square feet. And they're right next to each other, but they're all individual buildings. And so there might, so we need, and you and I, when we get off this call, I'll be sending you some stuff.
Sure.
That's, so in that case though, you're saying that each of those units could have their own policy.
Oh, their own deductible.
Own deductible, right. So the roof comes off of one, and you know, it's, say it's $4,000 to replace that roof. Maybe it's probably gonna be a lot less on that size of a property or building, but let's say it's $4,000, but the deductible is $2,000. So now we're out, you know, and you do that across 70 buildings. I mean, we have $140,000 in deductibles just before we ever even start doing the first piece of roofing.
Absolutely. And sometimes even in situations like that, you can go out there and shop for the policy. The question, you know, again, the premium you have to look at the premiums on it, but we have one of our clients has a similar situation. They have 60 something cottages, and their deductible is a flat $5,000 deductible for the loss of the total, whatever the property loss is. It's not broken up, and they're paying for that. Don't get me wrong. They're paying for that, but it's worth it for them because they just got hit with a loss. And right now, 22 of the 60 units are damaged and down.
Wow.
So imagine $5,000 per unit versus $5,000 across the whole thing. So that really does affect your bottom line. Also knowing when you're looking, you know, some of the things we do for our clients is, and at no cost, is when you're going into a property, what is the loss run? What's the history of the property with regards to insurance claims, which will definitely affect your premium and also possibly your coverages. And that can play out of where if there was an insurance claim and the repairs weren't done, because there's no requirement under the policy, by the way, for the insured to do the repairs, but there is a responsibility for the carrier to pay for it. So if they don't do the repairs and decide to pocket the money and do a patch job, I'm going to use that as an example, then going forward, if God forbid damages happen to the property, the carrier has a history of those loss runs. Even though it's a new carrier, they have a back end of it and they can look at that, and that can affect your claim, God forbid.
Right. Yeah, understood. Understood that. Let's move more into, I really want to highlight what it is that, I know you do, you know, proactive looking at policies and things like that. So I want to, you know, before we get off of this call, find out the best way to reach out to you and do those sorts of things, because I don't want people to listen to this and you get flooded with, hey, look at my policy for whatever reason. But, you know, do want to find out what, you know, how that service works and what that looks like. But really, when it comes to you as a public adjuster, give me an example of when you came in and it was a game changer for one of your clients.
This is on a high-end residential property. I'll use that as one and then go into a commercial one. The carrier was taking the position that there was no coverage for the damages to the property. They had an engineer come out and document damages to the property. I met with the senior adjuster at the property with the engineer and their building consultant. And what we were able to do, and at that point, the client was receiving zero, 4 months into the claims process. They haven't gotten anything and they had severe damages to the property. when I met with the engineer there, and then the first question I asked the engineer is, the damages that you documented in your report, do those apply to the actual claim, to the damages that are being claimed? And the answer was no. So I said, okay, the damages that happened. He goes, well, those are damages, and that is in my report too. So we were able to clarify, first of all, that the damages that they're documenting had nothing to do with the loss. At that point, then I turned to the building consultant, and I asked them if they are a licensed general contractor in that particular state. They said no. I said, are you a licensed insurance adjuster? They said no. I said, well, under that state statute, you're not allowed to write an estimate. It's illegal. You're giving your opinion on something that you actually have no licensure to do. I turned to this senior adjuster. I said, so now that we straightened that out, he goes, what's your estimate number? I said, $175,000. 10 days later, my client got a check.
So I want to make sure I clarify that. There was, you said that the damage was not related to the claim.
Correct.
How was that helpful for the homeowner?
It was not helpful. It was for a way for the insurance company to try to find a way to hang their hat on to exclude coverage under the property.
Got it. So what damage, what was the insurance company, what did they ultimately end up paying for?
They ended up paying for the replacement of the plaster walls, the interior flooring throughout the house, and other damages that were there. This was a 8,000 square foot home. And then they had to pay out another $95,000 in additional living expenses while the repairs were ongoing at the property.
Right, right, right. Okay, so the insurance company found damage and said, hey, this is damage from this, and it wasn't, and we're not paying for it because this wasn't part of the claim, and that was their out. But instead, you said, hey, look, there's all this other damage that actually is part of this claim that you guys are going to pay for.
Correct.
That's awesome. Talk to me about a commercial project.
Commercial project, a client of ours that was the owner of a property that was a flagship hotel. Their client, their tenant had a lease option that turned into a purchase after about 3 years. 3 years were coming up, and there was an accidental fire in the hotel premises. At that point, the tenant wanted out of their lease and said, oh, we don't want to buy it, so on and so forth. We stepped in. The carrier came back with a number of about $25,000 in damage, which, by the way, was actually a little bit more. It was $25,500. So it was $500 more than the deductible. So the insurance company cut a check for $500. We came in. We were able to assess the damages, go through everything, get our clients $1.4 million on damages to the property, and also get them the code upgrade that they were entitled to under the policy, because the code enforcement came in after the loss and said, we're shutting down the other wings of the hotel because of these code violations that are now discovered due to the loss. Under this particular policy, the carrier owed for that, didn't mention it to the client. We were able to get them another $425,000 to upgrade and bring the building up to code. And then they were able to sell off the property fully repaired, fully up to code, and be able to maximize their profits on it at the end of the day.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. And really, everybody needs their own advocate in their own corner, I think. And that's what we forget or don't forget, but not until it's too late, realize that we need that. So I think this is a timely episode, just in the sense that, you know, you're not a part of the industry we hear a lot about. You know, I've interviewed I think at least three, if not four, commercial insurance brokers on here, and those are always fascinating episodes. But now we get to hear it from the other side of the table. So what are some things that you should say? What's some advice you would give to somebody as we take property, for those of us who are actively acquiring properties, talk to us on that front. What should we be doing that you see people aren't doing?
Right off on the insurance part of it, because that's where my expertise is at.
Right.
Is looking at knowing upfront and acquiring from the prior owner, their policy, knowing what their coverages that they had, understanding what was in place, because that can really affect your premium and also the bottom line when you're looking at the property. Because sometimes people come back after they purchase it and go, wait a second, why is this $40,000 or $50,000 more than what was the expected number? Well, if they would have brought their policy to an actual commercial agent, they would have been able to run it and say, well, this policy is this price because of these reasons, and a real good commercial agent will give you some insight to that. That's one. Two is understanding the type of property. If you're taking over a property that has a certain amount of vacancies on it and you're going to bind insurance, well, 30 to 60 days after you've bound insurance, they're going to come out and inspect the property. If they find that the units were, or some of the property is vacant, might not have been notified, or the number that they were being told and when they show up are different, they're going to cancel your policy. So knowing those things up front and making sure that the agent is getting the right things in place. And one of the things we're dealing with this right now, actually, on a particular property, the agent forgot to put in what they call a vacancy permit, which allows for that the insurance company knows that these X amount of units are vacant under the property, what percentage of it. So then this way, everybody is on the up and up. And if a loss happens, they don't deny coverage because the property was vacant. And vacancy has a lot of definitions to it. And we can, that's a whole nother area of it. But understanding that up front and knowing what you're dealing with and understanding the property and understanding the insurance part of it, I should say more, is very crucial at the end of the day, because that's the last thing on everybody's list is the insurance policy. It's always at the bottom. One of our clients that are in the, on the commercial side of it came to us when they were looking to buy a property. They did all their due diligence and they said, we just want to get your feedback on some of the claims history here. I looked at it and I said, based on the claims history, every one of these claims were denied. But look at the value that was assessed by the carrier, even though they didn't have to pay for it, they put a dollar amount on it. I said, based on what I'm looking at, you'll be dealing with out of pocket anywhere between $10,000 to $40,000 a month on backups from the sewer lines because they're all failed and collapsed due to numerous flooding that has gone on the property. And you'll never be able to get coverage because you'll never surpass your deductible based on what the carriers are offering you. They backed out of the deal because they looked at it and they were like, wow, that's an interesting, you know, we didn't look at it that way. So going in, some of my clients go into the deal no matter what because it's worth it, and they run out. But knowing that up front is, I think, understanding that part of the insurance side of it is important. And those are just a handful of tips. But
yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And it sounds like also involving someone like you on the front end as well is a helpful thing to do.
Absolutely. It's also building a relationship. I always tell my clients, I prefer if you call me before a loss than after a loss. Because before a loss, you know what you're dealing with. You can set up the correct coverages. There are ways to do with buy down deductibles and different things of that nature that can really help you. And knowing that up front and having that up front will really protect your asset when something does go wrong.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What's the best way, and we'll get into this, what your contact info here in a minute, but what's the best method for someone to engage your services? You know, if they just want to find you and say, hey, look, you know, can you look at this? Or what's a good way for somebody to do that?
So one of the best ways is for me, because I travel a lot, email and phone call. Like I give out my number to everybody. They can reach me via cell. They can email. Here's some documentation. What's your thoughts about it? And then I'll get on the phone with them and give them my opinion. That's really, you know, two best ways. And I'll give that contact whenever you're ready.
Right. No, that's super generous of you. Okay. No, that's cool. That's straightforward and very simple. Very simple. Hey, let's jump into the final four here. I know you're short on time today and we're out of time, which is unfortunate. These always go too fast. But yeah. What is one piece of advice? And, you know, let's keep this all insurance related. What's one piece of advice you would give as it pertains to insurance to an aspiring investor?
Understanding and I'm taking a moment for that, reading that, understanding your insurance policy, understanding the property side of it and taking some time and doing your part of review. That would be one of my main. No one ever reads their insurance policy. So that's like my first thing I always tell people, even just getting an understanding for it, just knowing what your coverages are. No one's ever even looked at the first page. So right. I would suggest that right off the bat.
That's great. What is one thing you are currently doing to stay on top of your game?
Getting up at 5 a.m. and getting to CrossFit. Working out first thing in the morning. Yes, that is my thing. I find that exercise is a good way to get your day started.
That's an impressive thing to pull off if you're on the road as much as you are.
Yes. Yeah. It's tough.
It is. Yeah. That's it. I find my disciplines at home are much easier with the schedule than, you know, constantly being on the move. So good for you for getting that done. When it comes to giving back, what is one way you are making the world a better place?
Charity. I give 10% of my income away to different causes and things that my wife and I believe in and helping people out.
That's awesome. That is very awesome. Joseph, if a listener want to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
They can email me at joseph@maximuminsuranceadjusters.com, or they can reach me directly on my cell, 305-788-4528.
Joseph, thanks so much for your time today. Certainly appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Sam. I really appreciate it. Great talking with you. Have a good one.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.